Father Anthony Russo has been a Redemptorist priest for over 40 years. During that time, he has devoted himself to ministering to the deaf community in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and also here in the Diocese of Wilmington. He is the author of the new book, In Silent Prayer. I'm very happy to welcome to Catholic Forum this morning, Father Anthony Russo. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. It's a pleasure and a real joy to be with you.
Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today, Father.
My privilege and my honor.
Thank you. Father, how did you get interested so many years ago in deaf ministry?
Well, I'm a member of the Redemptorist Fathers and Brothers, mm-hmm. and our religious order has began with St. Alphonsus Liguori in southern Italy back in 1732. And it was the mind of St. Alphonsus that this new religious order should reach out to people who somehow fell through the cracks. Mm-hmm. And back then it was the goatherds in the rural areas around Naples, Italy, where St. Alphonsus noticed that diocesan clergy were taking care and good care of the people within the city limits of Naples. But when you got to the goat herds and the surrounding areas, no one was caring for them. So it was the mind of St. Alphonsus to reach out to those who were being marginalized or overlooked in the church. And so that mindset carried over into deaf ministry. And so we've had a long tradition among the Redemptorists in working with the deaf. So we've been working with the deaf here in Philadelphia and Wilmington. Redemptorist priests and brothers have worked in the past with the deaf population in Boston, Chicago, St. Louis, New Orleans, New York City, Western Canada.
Wow.
So we've had this long tradition, and myself personally, I experienced a minor hearing loss back in the mid-1960s, just a year before I was due to be ordained. At the same time, my predecessor here, who also worked in Wilmington, Father Stephen Landher, was becoming ill with cancer. So the provincial superior, the Redemptorist provincial superior in New York, felt that because of my own minor hearing loss and Father Landher's illness, the time was right for me to come here to work as Father Landher's successor
mm-hmm.
Back in 1967.
Wow.
So really it was by vow,
right.
The vow of obedience, which we all take in the religious order. As you know, we take the three vows. So the vow of obedience is really what sent me here.
Yeah.
And so I arrived in February of 1967. Father Landher, the cancer just kept getting worse, and he went home to the Lord in June of 1967. So that's how it all began. And of course, it was really my love for the Redemptorist, and above all, my commitment and love for Christ that got me full of zeal and full of love and full of caring for this brand new ministry that I was thrust into by the vow of obedience.
Father, can you give us an overview of your ministry? What does your ministry entail?
Well, the quickest overview that I could give would be something like this. It would be something like being a parish priest with the archdiocese as the boundaries, but really in this case it would be the Philadelphia as well as Wilmington, so that most of the work that a parish priest would do, the priest in this ministry would also do, such as religious education, administration of the sacraments, evangelistic outreach, pastoral counseling. Of course, you know, the parish priest would be doing all this, but in deaf ministry, the overarching value that goes through all of these pastoral activities would be a knowledge of the sign language,
right,
and a knowledge of deaf culture.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're equipped with that knowledge, you have adequate communication skills, and once you have a knowledge and an experience of the deaf culture, then you know, you're doing equipped with those two tools. You're doing pretty much what a parish priest would be doing.
Mm-hmm. I see. In your many years in deaf ministry, what have been some of the challenges that you've faced? And also the flip side of that, what are some of the most rewarding aspects of your ministry?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. The first challenge, of course, is for anyone entering into this ministry, not only as a priest, but as a religious educator, as a catechist, as a pastoral worker. The first challenge is, especially if you've been previously had no contact with the deaf world, is the language.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of disputation has gone on, especially in the early years, as to whether you have to master the sign language or will lip reading get the job done. But it became clear to me that as far as ministry in the church is concerned, the priest would have to master the language of the deaf.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a challenge. That's a definite challenge.
How about rewarding aspect? What would you say is the most rewarding aspect of your ministry?
Well, you know, the biggest reward is to bring shepherd-like qualities, you know, to the deaf.
Mm-hmm.
Not being a shepherd for myself, but being a shepherd for the church, of course, and for our Lord, and in union with our Lord, and seeing the beautiful results that can come from that.
Mm-hmm.
And alongside of that, the other reward has been my own interaction with, I would call them heroic people. I'm thinking especially of people who are deaf and blind.
Yeah.
There have been several of those in my flock. You know, like Helen Keller. The individual is both deaf and blind. In fact, one of them, an outstanding one, was in Wilmington.
Hmm.
And I went to the house, the home, to teach the faith to this deaf-blind child. I went there every Wednesday night for 4 years, and that meant fingerspelling in her hands. So it was very gratifying and very rewarding to see this child who was deaf and blind, and with very limited speech, to see this child ask penetrating questions like, for example, did our Lord have to use medicine when he performed miracles and cured the sick? Can I shake hands with the Lord? I would like to meet him and shake hands. You know, to stand back and look at this deaf-blind child and say, look, you've been an instrument bringing Christ to this child. That's been very rewarding.
I can imagine. I can imagine how rewarding that would be.
Right.
In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and my guest is Father Anthony Russo, who's a Redemptorist priest who for over 40 years has been in full-time deaf ministry in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and also part-time ministry here in the Diocese of Wilmington. Father, tell us a little bit about your work in our diocese.
Well, it's always been an honor for me to come down to Wilmington. We have interpreted masses at St. Catherine of Siena. I come down on the first Tuesday of each month and have an evening mass at St. Catherine of Siena, and Father Hines has been, the pastor there has been a very gracious and welcoming host, and his whole parish staff there have been very warm and welcoming to the deaf. So we have the liturgy there. I've exercised the pastoral care of the sick, mm-hmm. having been to Christiana Hospital many times, and also receiving people into the church. Once the curiosity is aroused, I would make sure that I made myself available for teaching them. And that usually would be some weekday night when I would drive down to the diocesan building there on Union Street, mm-hmm. and teach them the faith.
Father, we only have about 2 minutes left to talk about your book, In Silent Prayer. Tell us a little bit about it. It's a history of the deaf ministry in our region.
It's a history that began in 1846 in St. Louis. The first bishop there, Bishop Rosati, somehow met the deaf. It's not clear how he met the deaf, but he met the deaf children out there and decided that something had to be done for their religious education. So he knew that Sisters of St. Joseph in France were equipped to work with deaf children. So he wrote to them and invited them to come to the United States. And they answered affirmatively and came to St. Louis. And then a Philadelphia bishop, Francis Patrick Kenrick, the third bishop of Philadelphia, went out there to visit his brother, Peter Richard Kenrick, who was the successor to Bishop Rosati, and during that visit he invited sisters to come to Philadelphia. So that's how it started here in Philadelphia. And soon after those sisters had settled in here, the first American deaf woman to become a nun took her vows in 1880, Sister Patricia Hughes. And she became friendly with Archbishop Patrick Ryan.
That was in Philadelphia as well?
This is all in Philadelphia. Yeah. And she persuaded Archbishop Ryan to open a Catholic school for the deaf. But Archbishop Ryan, she died on Christmas Eve in 1910. The next year, the Archbishop died. But his successor, Archbishop Prendergast, did bring this dream to reality and open the Catholic school for the deaf in 1912. So, in fact, some of the people in Wilmington, adults now, of course, attended Archbishop Ryan Memorial Institute for the Deaf. So we have that early era that stretched from about 1911 to 1941. Jesuits were involved here with the deaf before 1941. There were Jesuit priests at St. Joseph's College, now St. Joseph's University. Three of those priests and one Jesuit brother were very committed to the deaf, even though they had high-level responsibilities to carry out at the college.
Right.
And then in 1941, Father Stephen Landwehr began, he continued until he died in 1967. And from 1967, it was myself.
Right.
And of course, I was always fortunate enough to have a wonderful team of people surrounding me. Our team exercised pastoral ministry with the deaf right up until now.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating book, and we could probably talk about it all day, but I guess it's better for our listeners to go out and pick up a copy of your book.
Yeah.
It's called In Silent Prayer, A History of Ministry with the Deaf Community in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It's by Father Anthony Russo, a Redemptorist priest, and it's available from Square One Publishers, or, of course, you can go on Amazon.com and major bookstores to pick up a copy of In Silent Prayer. Father Tony Russo, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Forum, and God bless you as you continue with your ministry.
Oh, thank you so very, very much for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.